So I wanted to read you guys some of the ratings and the reviews that I got for the podcast. Some of the ones I got here, I have Truly Geeky. There's no higher honor I can bestow than that. Well, I could declare it emperor of the known universe, I suppose. But if the emperor is not geeky, then who really cares? 5 stars. Nice. Let's see here. A great show for the local and for the local nerd and beyond. Nice. Also 5 stars. I love listening to these nerds. Super entertaining. 5 stars. Thank you. New year, new episodes. What more could you ask for? 5 stars. Nice. And we also have a great listen. 5 stars. And then there's, of course, because, you know, I wanted to at least have one on there. I didn't expect to get more, but that's awesome. The first one is from me. It says, I'm biased, but I think I think it's a great podcast. 5 stars. Yes, yeah, I rated and reviewed my own podcast, folks. So if you want to also do a rating and a review, and I'll read these once I get new ones. These are all kind of old, but I haven't had any new ones in a while. If you want to give me a rating and a review, you can go to rate.206geek.com, and that will take you to where you can find the links for Apple Podcast and Podchaser. Both are free, and you can set up an account if you don't already have one, and then rate and review the podcast. If you would do that, that'd be great. The more people that rate and review the podcast, the more the podcast becomes visible, more people see it, more people subscribe and download. That'd be great if you did that. Thanks.
We should, like, go and, like, hang out with Todd.
Whoa. It's Todd.
Yeah.
Todd's even cooler than we thought.
Boys, I'm looking for a fella who goes by the name of Todd.
Oh, yeah. He's cool.
Todd would make, like, a good manager or something.
Todd rolls.
Welcome to another episode of the 206 Geek Podcast with your host Todd, the 206 Geek.
Recording now. Yes, I am your host Todd, the 206 Geek, and you know, thank you for tuning in to another episode of my podcast. I got a few things that I've got pulled up on from Feedly, and for whatever reason, Twitch is not seeing or hearing anything from this, and I don't know what's going on. I'm not really active on Twitch, so I don't know what the heck is going on here. Let's see. Maybe I got nothing. It's weird, man. Nothing is happening over on. Well, maybe they can see the chat. Okay, I mean the chat is separate from the video, so they should see the chat stuff that I put. I don't know. Anyways, let me get to the stories here. Also, I want to tell you guys, if you haven't been listening to the other podcast, there was some drama yesterday. Holy shit! You should definitely go check out my other podcast. You just go over to facebook.com/notaboutyoupod. That's the letter U, not about you pod. And just check out the last few posts. I mean, wow, man. I don't know what else to say other than wow. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. It says, oh, the other thing that happened today, apparently my computer got upgraded, or the operating system, I should say, to, I think it's Windows 11, but I'm not really sure, to be honest. All I know is that my computer's super laggy today, even more so than usual. I mean, I just clicked on something and I'm waiting for it to respond. Man, this sucks. I don't know if this stream is even working, to be honest. I'm glad I have a separate system for recording the podcast and I'm not solely, you know, depending on the recording of the stream through, like, Facebook or whatever. Because it would not get anything done because my computer is going, what? So, yeah. Still waiting. Oh. I guess you can't right-click on the start menu anymore. Oh, that's the thing. They fucking changed everything. Everything about Windows is all different now. The start menu is completely different. Not recognizable at all. I don't know where any fucking thing is anymore. Cause you know they you know when it's not an update unless they change the interface, the graphical user interface or GUI, and you know there's no transitional. Hey, this is how this fucking works. And if that does exist, I must have skipped it or you know said fuck off, go away. I don't you know, maybe it's this get started thing. Welcome to Windows. Let's click that and see what that does. I mean, I just clicked it and not doing anything. Get started. And this says, welcome to Windows 11. Your first batch of bugs has been installed. Jesus Christ, this is taking for fucking ever to load. This is reminiscent of the days of dial-up and trying to download a GIF file. And it took 30 minutes to download or to load. Let's make sure everything is set up just the way you want it. Well, you fucking changed everything else. Get started. I mean, it would be great if Microsoft would at least allow you to keep the way you had things. At the very least, have the things, you know, as far as like the shortcuts and whatnot for like your start menu has not changed. I think I already went through this. Open OneDrive. I'm not doing that right now because I don't really use OneDrive much. Which is their cloud drive is what it's, and of course now it's gone away. All right, so that was stupid. I don't like this new start menu is ridiculous. This is definitely designed for they basically have they're not doing the tiles anymore, which I think I'm okay with, but I have a bunch of pinned programs that I didn't have pinned before. You know, it would be great if they have imported the tiles that were pinned and make those pinned. But no, they have other things pinned in here, like things that it didn't even have installed before, like Photoshop Express. Why the fuck is that in here? I don't use Photoshop. I'm not going to be buying Photoshop, so they can fuck right off. God damn it, this sucks. Uninstall all this extra crap. Fucking bloatware, man. Well, you know, you didn't have this before, so we're going to install it for you. Thank you. No. Damn it. This does not even resemble the start menu that I'm used to for the past 5 years. I can click the more and it gives kind of a generic fucking list of all the stuff you have installed. Alright. That's laggy as fuck. seriously. I don't even know how well this stream is going right now, because I'm almost positive there's nobody watching. And and I don't know if anybody can hear or see me. What the fuck is going on? Everything just crashed. All right. So, yeah, my browser just crashed completely. So the things I had open to talk about are gone. Let me reopen the browser. I think I'm going to start using my Discord more for the podcast. So if you guys are interested at all in interacting with me while I do these live streams, you can do it from where you're watching. If you're watching on Facebook and or Twitch, you can also join the Discord. I have discord.206geek.com. I can jump into a voice channel, or I can go do a live there, and then do it live through there as well. I haven't done that yet, but I can do that, and largely because the Discord is somewhat active, but it's active in other areas. It doesn't really there's not a lot of activity as far as the podcast. And I kind of want to start using it for that. There is a stream chat that is connected to the Twitch and the Facebook comments that is in the on the Discord channel, which, you know, you can see all the comments from yesterday's show. In all the previous shows where we had people talking to us on Twitch and or Facebook. And let's see. I need to reopen the browser so I can look at those links that I had opened. Let's see. And everything is not responding. That's brilliant. Come on, today. Close that. Lag. My computer's lagging like a motherfucker. So, I'm doing a live stage on Twitch. It's not Twitch, Discord. Assuming I can get this to start doing its thing. Close that. Waiting for shit to respond because my computer is going, I'm working on it. Stop pushing my buttons. Sound like the computer from Team America. Intelligence. All right. Got that open, I think. I'm not sure. Things are moving really slow. And yeah, I don't know why Twitch is not fucking working. This is bothering me. I need to get a hold of them today or something. Come on. Continue. Start stage. All right, I need to change that. Can I change that picture? Stop it. Yes, yeah, streamer mode has enabled us. I know. Come on, please. Just fucking do what I'm telling you, you dumb computer. You know, I was wanting to do some stuff today, but I'm still kind of waiting around for, you know, shit to... Oh, God damn it. Just fuck you. All right, I'm gonna leave it as is. My picture on Discord is an old ass picture of me when I was like 14, so it's goofy as hell looking. But I'm doing a it's a live stage on Discord, my Discord channel. So that's cool. See, no listeners on Discord yet, which is fine. I'm sure it's not going to get anybody, but you never know. I have it set to public, so people might just start popping in. All right. So, anyways, as I was trying to say before, my computer is like, fuck you, you're talking shit. I'm going to cause things to slow way down, and I'm going to make things difficult for you. Yeah. I'm not liking this new operating system. It feels even slower than the previous OS that I had on here. Fucking slow as shit. And, yeah. Fucking hate this. You know, it's funny when I did tech support for a large internet provider, my coworkers used to say, you know, whenever Microsoft rolls out a new operating system, they just roll it out with all of the bugs. And then, like, the following weeks or months after, you know, they release it, they start releasing all the updates and bug fixes and whatnot, because people are like, it's not working right. I'm like, well, of course it's not working right. They didn't test it first. Or they did and decided to release it anyways, even though they knew that it had the issues that it had. Or they did all their testing on, like, top-of-the-line machines that have the full amount of RAM installed into them and, you know, have gigantic hard drives and do not have any latency problems whatsoever. And, yeah. So, do. Yeah, I need to change my fucking Discord picture. Come on, will you fucking just give me... dude. Oh, you know what? It won't let me because I'm in streamer mode. That's why. I can't do that because streamer mode means that anything and everything that is... No, I can disable streamer mode. Yeah, there we go. Maybe that will help. I'm not showing Discord. Change avatar. Here we go. That's what I'm looking for. Of course, this is going to take a minute for it to do that. Come on, today, people. Today. This is so... This is aggravating to no end. I had things I wanted to talk about, and now I'm having to deal with computer shit. That's brilliant. This has essentially been like the thing that I've been dealing with for the past... Well, similar things. Every time I've tried to do a live stream in the last month, I've had like some... Windows deciding it's going to do an update right before I go live, or as I'm getting ready to go live, everything slows way down. You know what? I'll just use this. I think this is a good picture of me. And even if it's not, I'm going to use it. You know, my derpy self. I'm not going to be screen sharing Discord, so stream mode is turned off. And, all right, so let's get back to the things that I have pulled up. I have a bunch of stories pulled up here. We have Stranger Things 4 teaser has been released. I will play that. Suicide Squad, all the Easter eggs and cameos we could find so far. These are all from comicbook.com, by the way, all these stories. Marvel's Avengers fans are divided over new Iron Man suit. I'm going to look at that. Robert Rodriguez's El Rey Network being rebooted as a streaming platform, which is probably smart. Real Steel director hopes to put Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman together for the sequel. Hulu exclusives. Is it exclusives? No, let me get a better look at this. Hulu executives tease more Marvel shows. Big Trouble in Little China reboot producer offers update, teases plans. Now, I kind of knew that Hulu was going to be the home for some of the lesser family-friendly Marvel shows. Lesser family-friendly meaning things that might be a bit too violent to show on Disney Plus. And considering that like Disney is essentially like the majority owner of Hulu because they have two of the three networks that are on there. So, you know, is it CBS? No. ABC. They have ABC, they have Fox. CBS is Paramount. And, so I think we're going to probably see shows in the Marvel Universe that are going to be a lot of blood and guts, violent stuff. So like New Mutants is probably going to be available on Hulu at some point, because I think that's a Fox movie. Actually, I think New Mutants is over on HBO Max right now. If you haven't seen that, I recommend it. Check it out. All right. So I had a message here, and let me take a look right quick. I don't know why the Twitch is not showing anything. No sound, no video. And I think I need to redo that over on Restreamer. And I will. I think I'm not sure what's going on there. Because I do my live streams through OBS and using Restreamer. For whatever reason, it's not fucking working over there. Edit settings. That just does that. Never mind. I'm going to do this. Toggle that off. And then when it gives me the opportunity to toggle back on, I will. Here we go. Sending data. Twitch. Let's go back to Twitch. Still nothing. Do I need to remove it from Rescreamer? Is that the deal? I think I'll do that later. All right, folks. Let's get down to these stories. Stranger Things Season 4 teaser has been released. Let's take a peek at that, eh? Sorry. I'm channeling my inner Canadian. Eh? I know. Come on. Not every Canadian says eh. I think that's an exclusive thing to Saskatchewan. I have friends from Calgary, and I have I know people from BC, and neither one of those groups of friends or people that I know say a, but I've heard my friend from Calgary say sorry and a boot a number of times, and I kind of giggle when he does because, you know, I'm a stupid American. And then he will tell me so, too. So let me bring up this teaser so you guys can see, those of you that can actually see what's going on. Let's go. Come on. No, don't fucking do that to me, dude. Seriously, do not. Just don't. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Chat bubble. I should move that over here and let. I don't have. I need to add the display capture. Because I thought I had it already set up, but I guess I deleted it or removed it, or that's not gonna be good. Display capture is not what I'm looking for. So that is going away. That's, oh yeah, display capture is this display screen, not the browser or program. Okay. Seriously, fuck off, man. I don't have enough shit going on today that I can't figure out where the fuck this is all disappearing to. Okay. Alright. Here it is. I found it. I had it renamed to something else. I don't know why. Let's rename that to Chrome. That way I don't get confused next time. Alright, and then have it so that it's not like covering my face. But you can still fucking see it. Here we go. Alright, so now I have it pulled up so you guys can see this. I have all the additional stuff kind of hidden back there, and I'm going to go over to that window and hit play, because this is a Netflix Geeked Twitter post from today.
If you're listening.
Holy mother of...
It is almost here.
Oh, dude.
Eleven, if you're listening.
All right, so basically it says, don't blink, Stranger Things will return season 4 in 2022. And then it has upside down. It says, see y'all in the upside down. And this is what it says here over on comicbook.com. For those wondering about what's on the road for this show, Executive producer Sean Levy told Collider that there is an end in sight, he explained. And I have the end in sight. The Duffer Brothers have the end in sight. There is a plan, and there's a plan, and that too will be shared. Not quite as soon as there's a. God damn it! I'm super ADD today. Apparently, I'm having trouble. Either that, or my eyes are fucking going ape shit on me. There is a plan that, and that too will be shared. Not quite as soon as a sense of when season four is coming out, but soon enough. I can say this, no one's making it up as we go along, and there's an end game, if you will. Speaking of Hopper, David Harbour recently spoke to Collider about the upcoming season. He says the Stranger Things 4 is his favorite batch of episodes yet. Quote, season 4 is really my favorite season, Harbour revealed. I just love it. The scripts always get better, and these guys, they started out, and season 1 was so tight and good and intimate in a certain way. It's so good, and these guys go in different directions, of which the fans have multiple takes on. But I will say the writing continues to be of its particular specific genre. Whatever they're doing each season is just extraordinary. And this, again, we will top it. Like, it feels it's a big, beautiful season. I can't wait for people to see it. End quote. And yes, from the teaser I just saw, we saw, if you're watching this, there's a lot to take in. I may have to rewatch that clip again a few times in full screen to kind of see if I notice anything, because that was kind of small, and it's even smaller when you guys are watching it through my screen share. So let me take that away. And there we go. And yeah, man, I'm looking forward to season 4. I don't know about you guys. Stranger Things has been one of those shows that's kept me on Netflix. Like, every season has been better than the previous season, in my mind. I know some people probably aren't too keen on certain seasons or certain choices that they made in certain seasons. Either way, I enjoy the shit out of it. Let's see here. And yeah, I just end up turning off the Twitch broadcast because it wasn't giving audio or video for whatever reason. I'll figure that out once I'm done here. And I am on Facebook, and I am over on Discord now. So people can jump over, well, those that are watching on either of those, which there's nobody right now over on Discord, but that's fine. It's fine. But, you know, I think I have a lot more fun if I have people to talk to. And that's one of the reasons why I love doing Not About You with Marianne and Jamal. And honestly, I've been thinking lately about, like, maybe doing this podcast less and just maybe doing it, like, every couple weeks, you know, twice a month, you know, depending on how long the month is. But that's a thought. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but that's a thought I've been having. And because I don't have people to talk to on this podcast, and I've had guests on here, and I would do them more frequently if I thought people would be interested in being on the podcast and talking about whatever they're talking about. And if the things they're talking about have kind of there's a similarity to what I normally talk about on the podcast. So, I mean, if you're wanting to promote something that is not at all like within the realm of geek or nerd or just that culture, like if you're wanting to promote, I don't know, fashion line or something that is like not at all something you'd see at a convention, or like anybody within my audience, I mean, maybe you guys would, I don't know. I need a producer, someone who knows what people want to see and hear. And, or if I had any kind of interaction with people to know which direction I should go, because right now I've just been like finding things that interest me to talk about, you know, and I assume that if you're listening to what I do here, that the things I talk about are the things you care about or interest you. And, if there's other things you want me to talk about, I would love to hear from you guys. You can shoot me an email, todd@206geek.com. You can hit me up through Facebook or on Twitter at 206geek. What else? I have the voicemail number that I haven't given out in a couple years. That's 206-504-3190. You can leave a voicemail there. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to hear from you guys. I'd like to hear some feedback. And actually, you know, the best way to give feedback to the podcast is to give the podcast a rating, a review. Tell me what it is you like about the show, what you want to see more of, what you don't like, that kind of stuff. And if you want to give the podcast a rating and a review, you can do it through Apple Podcast and Podchaser. And if you want to know where the easiest way to find those, go to rate.206geek.com. That'll take you to where you can find the links to both places where you can rate the podcast. I would love to hear from you guys. I really do want to hear from you guys. I want to know what you guys think. And you know, let's do positive, okay? Let's not be mean and disrespectful. Constructive criticism is welcome as long as it's not, you know, just Wheaton's Law, man. Don't be a dick. You can be constructive with your criticism. You don't have to be like, well, that's fucking sucked, or you're an asshole, or whatever. Personal attacks are never okay. But anyhow, all right. What was I doing? Oh yes, the next story. Gosh, man, I've been really, really ADD lately. Just so ADD. I've been, you know, this last month and a half or whatever it was when I got diagnosed with diabetes, I've been trying to eat healthier. I've been trying to be more active, just because I don't want nerve damage. I don't want to have to lose a foot or whatever might happen if that happens. I also want to lose weight because I'm going to Disneyland and Universal Studios at the end of September. So I have a lot on my mind lately. So yeah. All right, so next story was the Suicide Squad Easter eggs. Let's open that up. All right, James Gunn's The Suicide Squad is finally here. And the consensus seems that the consensus seems to be that it was worth the wait. And like Gunn's approach to the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, he has neither completely... what the fuck is this word? He is neither completely eschewed DC Universe cameos and Easter eggs. I don't know what that word is. The fuck is that? Eschewed. Eschewed, maybe? God. Eschew. It says past tense. Eschewed. Past participate. Maybe it's eschewed. I don't honestly know. And I'm not going to spend any more time wondering about it or what it even means. He is neither completely blah, blah, blah. The DC cameos and Easter eggs, like many filmmakers like to do, nor gone all in with wall-to-wall world building like Zack Snyder. Meeting in the middle, the Suicide Squad has a handful of Easter eggs, cameos, and hidden references, and each one is exciting to spot. We tried to run down all of them that we could find in the first 24 hours of the film's release. They are listed below, so feel free to let us know in the comments or hit us up on Twitter at Russ Burlingame if we missed anything major. Excuse me. Russ Burlingame is his Twitter handle. All right. In The Suicide Squad, Welcome to Hell, a.k.a. Bell Reve, or Bell Rev, depending on who you talk to. I think it's Bell Reve because it is R-E-V-E, but I've heard it called Bell Rev a number of times, so whichever. The prison with the highest mortality rate in the U.S. of A, where the worst supervillains are kept and where they will do anything to get out, even join the super secret, super shady Task Force X. Today's do or die assignment: assemble a collection of cons, including Bloodsport, Peacemaker, Captain Boomerang, Ratcatcher 2, Savant, King Shark, Blackguard, Javelin, and everyone's favorite psycho, Harley Quinn. Then arm them heavily and drop them, literally, on the remote, enemy-infused island of Corto Maltese. The Suicide Squad will see the return of Viola Davis as Amanda Waller, Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, Joel Kinnaman as Colonel Rick Flagg, and Jai Courtney as Captain Boomerang from the 2016 Suicide Squad. Joining them in the film is David Dastmalchian. I don't know. I'm butchering the guy's name. As Polka Dot Man, Steve Agee is King Shark. Daniela Melchior as Ratcatcher 2. Idris Elba is Bloodsport. John Cena as Peacemaker. Nathan Fillion as TDK. Pete Davidson as Blackguard. Flula Borg as Javelin. Mailing NG is the last name. I don't know how that's pronounced. As Mongol. Peter Capaldi as The Thinker. Michael Rooker as Savant. Alice Braga is Sol. Soria. And Sean Gunn as Weasel. Okay. I have to Google this person because I don't know. The name sounds familiar, but I don't know who it is because I didn't recognize them with the makeup on. Okay. What else has she done? Apparently she was in Wonder Woman. Oh, she was one of the Amazons in Wonder Woman. She looks like she may have been like an MMA fighter. That explains why she's got such a badass look to her. She's a fighter. Holy shit. All right. Now it says Corto Maltese. And it shows... I'll pull it up on screen. If you're listening to this podcast through your normal podcasting app and you're like, Todd, why are you talking about these things that we can't see? He's like, well, you can watch the live streams as I do them on Facebook. And you can catch them on Facebook even after the stream is done. So let's do this. Bring this up. Go. And boom, there we go. Now you guys can see what I'm looking at. All right, now let me get back over here. And it's showing like a comic book panel. And it says here, Corto Maltese, a fictional island nation created by Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns, is one of a handful of stand-in countries in the DC universe, filling in story roles without alienating anybody who comes from a real country that they otherwise might have used in the role. It isn't a major setting. It's mostly referenced more than seen, and that has been true in the Arrowverse too. Corto Maltese is named after an Italian comics character created by Hugo Pratt. Jotunheim, in the comics, Jotunheim is in Karak, another of DC's countries, and ones that gets name dropped in the episode as the place where Rick Flagg and Bloodsport served together. As the movie was built by the Germans, during World War II and got wrapped up in Suicide Squad mission that involved a local coup. The name Jotunheim is a reference to the land of the giants in Norse mythology, and they claimed only a race of giants could have built it. Yeah, that's... Jotunheim is actually mentioned in, like, the Avengers as well, in any of the movies that had, Thor. John Economos, originally created by Legendary Suicide Squad, described John Ostrander along with artist Luke McDonald, played by Steve Agee, Steve Agee's bearded Argus agent in the control room, is the warden of Belrev in the comics, and so ends up working with Waller here, there too. All right. Calendar Man. There were a few villains in the background in Belrev. who were recognizable enough to be worth calling out here. One of them is Calendar Man, the villain of Batman The Long Halloween, the second half of which will be available in animated movie on Tuesday, starring Jensen Ackles as the Bat. The Suicide Squad's David, and the Suicide Squad's David, how do you say this dude's name? I'm going to Google that right quick, because I hate it when people mispronounce names, so I'm always, like, super, like, aware of, like, mispronouncing a dude's last name. How do you say his name? He's from Pennsylvania, Philadelphia even. All right, so let's take a peek. So I'm waiting for that to load. You guys are seeing this, right? Oh, I fucking love it when they have... let me zoom in on that because I can't fucking read what that says. Come on! Das... I don't know. I can't fucking read that. I can't get it to zoom. Here. Yes, folks, I'm blind. Das Malten. Okay, Das Malten. That's how it's said. Okay, well, now I know. Das Malten. All right, so David S. Malton as Calendar Man. All right, he was in the animated one anyway. If you missed him, he was playing James Gunn's brother and Gilmore Girls star Sean Gunn. What? All right. If you missed him. Oh, that was, okay. So this guy, as you, I'm showing you guys here on the screen, that's James Gunn's brother. He's also the guy playing Weasel. He does Weasel in, like, a motion capture suit. Okay. Double Down. It says, Double Down is a relatively obscure villain from the DC pantheon. As a disfigured villain whose body was fused with a deck of magical cards, you might remember him from the Arrowverse, where he was played by Josie the Pussycat's veteran, J.R. Bourne. Jared Leland Gore, the actor who plays Double Down in the Suicide Squad, apparently also had a role as a stand-in for one of the actors in Black Adam. Cool. Crazy Quilt. The last of the background villains that stuck out at us was a woman with multicolored skin. We don't know who the actress is, but if the pattern is to be believed, it appears that this is the DC Films version of Crazy Quilt, a name that has a long history. The version of Crazy Quilt, who was a woman, was a part of Alexander Luthor's Secret Society of Supervillains and later worked with Secret Six around the same time as King Shark. John Ostrander. The aforementioned Suicide Squad writer John Ostrander, who helped shape the property and originated the Jotunheim mission story, is actually the sadistic doctor who can be seen placing the bomb in the base of Savant's neck. Okay, cool. Love the bedhead, by the way, James. He can pull it off, I can't. GBS News. This is from the War Room, where there's a news broadcast in the background from GBS. As previously seen in Man of Steel and Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice, GBS News is a Metropolis-based news network which has ties to the Daily Planet. It is also the place where Cat Grant and Jimmy Olsen worked in the 80s, making it kind of a proto-version of Catco in Supergirl. Senator Joseph Cray, the Amanda Waller, the man Amanda Waller is planning to play golf with, was a recurring character from the Suicide Squad numbers 11 through 22 in the 80s. He was implicated in a scandal that involved selling state secrets. His death was particularly Suicide Squad worthy, having been tasked to with preventing an enraged Rick Flag from killing Cray by any means necessary. Deadshot killed Cray himself rather than killing Flag, reasoning that he had certainly managed to prevent Flag from doing it. Okay. Mafalda? Milton? Who? That's a joke that you'll get if you've seen the movie. Milton drives a van that helps get the squad from place to place in a few scenes and is even featured on one poster. On his keychain is a small plastic cartoon character. If you were an American, you might mistake for the character of Nancy. Instead, this is Mafalda, an Afghanian comic about a six-year-old girl who loves the Beatles, hates soup, and represents the middle class and progressive youth. It was created by beloved cartoonist Quino, who sadly passed away in October. Another fucking name that I'm not going to be able to pronounce. I'm not going to even try. Who's Okay, that's the actress's name. Okay, the actress who played Mantis in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 appears briefly as a dancer in the Gentleman's Club, where Task Force X meets for the Thinker. I thought she looked familiar, but I thought she was somebody else. All right, Fernet, Peacemaker's drink order actually makes a lot of sense for a South American mission. Fernet is an Italian type of Amaro, a bitter aromatic spirit that includes herbs and spices with a base of distilled grape spirits. Okay. It says, we admit freely that we're getting all of this from Wikipedia. Per its Wikipedia entry, Fernet is usually served as a digestive after a meal, but also be served with coffee and espresso, or mixed into coffee and espresso drinks. It typically contains 45% alcohol by volume, but it may be served at room temperature or with ice. Yeah, I don't know if you guys want me to continue reading about the liquor part of this. I don't care. I'm scrolling. Lloyd Kaufman? He was there and I didn't see that? I need to rewatch the movie. Lloyd Kaufman, the guy who gave us the Toxic Avenger in Romeo and Juliet, and the guy who basically does all the trauma films. And this is here. After a few drinks, the squad starts to loosen up, and you can see Lloyd Kaufman, legendary schlockmeister behind trauma films, and the first studio executive to give James Gunn a job, making a cameo appearance, dancing slowly with women near the bar. You can see him in the photo above, just behind John Cena's Peacemaker. Oh yeah, look at that. Crisp Rat. That's funny as shit right there. Crisp Rat. say that fast, and it's Chris Pratt. I wonder if it's actually the character is voiced by Chris Pratt. I figured it out before I even read this. That's right. One of the two practical trained rats who were used in the movie to play Sebastian, Ratcatcher's favorite friend, is named Chris Pratt, after Chris Pratt, star of Guns Guardians of the Galaxy movies. Nope, he didn't. I guess he didn't voice Chris Pratt, because Chris Pratt just squeaked. So you don't really need to have someone voice it, right? Alrighty then. That's funny. Let's see, turn that off. Come on. There we go. All right. Next story. All right. Marvel's Avengers fans are divided over new Iron Man suit. Let's see here. All of these stories, by the way, in case you've never listened to me babble for an hour before, is available on the Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/206geek. Be sure to follow, like, and or whatever. And all the stories are posted there. You can see them for yourself. It's almost done here. Actually, I've been talking for an hour, and I've only talked about two stories so far. So I might go a little bit longer today, because I want to talk about all these things. This may end up being two episodes. Marvel's Avengers has a new Iron Man. Oh, this is for the game. Okay. I was thinking this was going to be in a new movie or a show or something, and I was like, what? A Marvel's Avengers has a new Iron Man suit. While some players are ready to fork over a piece of their weekly paycheck for it, others are ready to burn down the servers because of it. Right now, as an in the moment of this writing, players of the PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series, XIS, or X1S, I think it's an I, PC, and Google Stadia game can buy the Terrigan Charge outfit and bundle via the marketplace. A brand new suit, part of a larger set, Crystal Dynamics. The game's developer notes the suit is made with an alternative energy source that makes the outfit emit a brilliant blue. As you well know, we don't often see Iron Man in a blue suit. Combine this with a sleek design, you get a lot of players excited to drop some dough. However, other players are accusing the suit of being a reskin and a color swap of a previous Iron Man suits. This is an oversimplification and undermines the work that went into the suit, but there's a point to the criticism. Players want more varied suit designs. That said, obviously more elaborate suits require more time and money, which runs at odds with the game's monetized model that relies on releasing new cosmetic at a rapid pace. Suffice to say, the decision over the game's suit isn't going to end with this new Iron Man skin. Okay, it looks like War Machine meets Tron, from what I'm seeing here. There's an animated GIF of the suit, and yeah, I don't know. That's meh. I've not played the game, so I don't really care. Which reminds me, I need to get over and start playing Miles Morales again. I haven't touched it in a month. It's such a good game. I need to finish it. All right. Let's see here. Robert Rodriguez, El Rey Network, is being rebooted as a streaming platform. It's a it was a cable network that gave us the TV series based on one of his movies, which was, of course, my brain is deciding to like not give me that. Oh, here we go. It's right here in front of me. From Dusk Till Dawn. It says, back in 2013, filmmaker Robert Rodriguez helped launch the El Rey Network, delivering audiences a genre content and original programs like From Dusk Till Dawn and Lucha Underground, but ultimately shut down at the end of 2020. Luckily, Variety has confirmed that Syndigam is reviving the network as part of its streaming offerings and will be an entire free-to-watch platform. Rodriguez himself will help curate the films and series offered on the platform, delivering over-the-top content, making the first time a cable network has pivoted completely to being a streaming service. There's currently no official date for the new El Rey Network to launch. Yeah. And it says here, quote, El Rey has always been a network for the people, a mainstream outlet where we discover diverse, independent voices. Rodriguez shared in a statement, quote, the fact that we can also now make our catalog of kick-ass programming available for free to all gives me enormous joy, end quote. That is really cool. It says, the outlet notes that the upcoming revival of the network will include Rodriguez's director's chair, featuring interviews with creatives like John Carpenter and Quentin Tarantino. Rebel Without a Crew, the series in which filmmakers set to make their first feature under Rodriguez's guidance, a library of unscripted franchises, including the Chewy Martinez Show, and feature films spanning such genres as grindhouse, classic cult, action, horror, and science fiction. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. All right. Real Steel director hopes to put Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman together for sequel. All right, the director for Real Steel is aiming to reunite Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman in the sequel. ComicBook.com's Brandon Davis had the chance to speak to Sean Levy about Free Guy this week. That film stars Reynolds, and it's no secret that he and Jackman are notorious friends. Uniting the duo in a sequel to a movie that would make the hype for an audience favorite push into an entirely different weight class. However, the filmmaker has been talking a lot about Real Steel lately, and the fans are hungry. The 2011 feature had a bit of a resurgence on Netflix last year during the quarantine period. During the summer, Real Steel climbed to the top 10, which had the director and his star scratching their heads. Still, never say never when it comes to Hollywood. We've seen that an old property never goes to waste time and time again. Well, I'll say this. Hugh and I definitely are feeling, we've never stopped feeling the love for Real Steel. And it's almost like the volume has been increasing. Hugh and I were together literally last week talking about that, Levy revealed. Quote, so I never say never on that. A sequel for Real Steel. Additionally, I am friends with Hugh. I'm friends with Ryan. I will get them together, whether it's in a Real Steel or another movie. I will direct those two amazing guys and dear friends in a movie together. I think that's an amazing idea. I would love to see the two of them in Real Steel 2, whatever they end up calling it, if they're like rival boxing groups. Like, because if you didn't see Real Steel, it's available apparently on Netflix and is about a futuristic boxing thing where they use robots to do the boxing. And I think it would be awesome if Hugh Jackman's character and his robot go up against another robot that is controlled by Ryan Reynolds. And if they could find a way to make that robot look like, you know, Deadpool, that'd be amazing. I thought that was funny. All right, I'll shut up. Next story. As it stands, Hulu hasn't had the best run with shows stemming from the Marvel umbrella. Right as the streamer was set to launch its own corner of the Marvel universe with a group of adult-oriented shows, the streamer was forced to cancel two of them, Marvel's Howard the Duck and Marvel's Tigra and Dazzler. After Marvel Studios' absorption of Marvel Television, the Disney-owned streamer was then going to do horror content based on Marvel characters, but Hellstrom was canceled after one season. That was a Marvel show? I need to go check it out. And Gabriel Luna's Ghost Rider show never got off the ground. Yeah, that dude's version of Ghost Rider was fucking awesome. I would have loved to have seen that be made into its own show. Despite all of that, Hulu's scripted originals boss is still holding out hope to land more Marvel content. According to Hulu executive Jordan Hellman, the streamer still hopes to eventually work with Marvel Studios as it works to grow the Marvel Cinematic Universe even further. Quote, Marvel continues to be an incredibly important partner and one of the biggest generators of content with the Disney ecosystem. So we're excited about the possibility of what may lie in the future with regards to the Hulu Marvel relationship. Hillman told Deadline on Friday. All right. Keep getting notifications on my phone. I'm seeing out of the corner of my eye. Maybe I should like turn it over so I'm not seeing things popping up in the corner of my eyes. The execs went on to confirm that Hulu has yet to speak with Marvel Studios or its head Kevin Feige. But Hulu is still plans to get some MCU content as, quote, it seems like an incredibly robust avenue for future projects, end quote. Yeah, I've heard stories that Marvel planned on using Hulu as the platform to showcase things that are less family-friendly in the Marvel universe. So, like, there was talks of a Deadpool series that might show up on that streaming platform instead of it being on Disney Plus. So I think that's a great idea. I think Disney should definitely do that. They should put out like rated R content for the MCU over on Hulu. Yeah. All right. Last story, folks. All right. So this is going to just be a little bit longer episode. I'm cranking through these stories as I babbled for far too long on other things. I apologize, to quote Larry the Cable Guy. Big Trouble in Little China is one of filmmaker John Carpenter's more unique films, as it blends together Western, martial arts, and comedy themes into one supernatural experience, with producer Hiram Garcia having attempted to bring a new iteration of to life starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Yet Garcia recently admitted the project has been encountering road bumps, given how beloved the original film is among genre fans. Audiences were somewhat apprehensive of how Johnson would do with the Jack Burton character and how he would honor Kurt Russell's original performance. Though Garcia confirmed that the project would take a page from Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, serving as a spiritual continuation as opposed to a replication of the original adventure. Yeah, to be honest, I recently, in the last 5 years, watched it, and there are some things that don't hold up. Some things that probably shouldn't be remade. But I think if it's respectful to the original, but is updated to kind of fit today's standards, let's just say that there are parts of the movie that were like, okay, wow, that's a thing. I don't remember it being disrespectful to Asian culture, but it is, and I don't know if I could watch that version of the movie again. I'm hoping that we do get a new version that is a lot less, poking fun at using stereotypes in that way. So it says here, quote, "It's still an ambition of ours, but unfortunately there are complications that come with a legacy property like that, which has so much attached to it from over the years." Garcia shared with Collider, "We have a really fun idea on what we'd want to do with it, especially since our goal was never to remake Big Trouble in Little China, simply continue it." So it's a sequel. Okay, that's cool. "Similar to what we did with Jumanji, we would continue the story and make sure the original stands on its own, since it means so much to us and the fans all around the world." So needless to say, we are still working on making that happen. But as with any great project, the road is not easy. But we are sticking to it. We are going to figure it out, a way to continue the story of Big Trouble in Little China. You know what? Instead of having, I heard someone actually call him this in an interview for Jungle Cruise. They called him DJ. They referred to Dwayne Johnson as DJ. So I think what they should do with DJ is not make him Jack, make him like an old buddy of Jack's. And give Kurt Russell a cameo. Make Jack show up as kind of a passing of a torch kind of thing. Or give him a bigger part. Make it a direct sequel, and have both Jack and then DJ. I don't think you could make The Rock like his brother, because they're different nationalities. But maybe like old college buddies, or if they're veterans, make them like colleagues or whatever. So that's the thought I had anyway. I would like to see it. Anyone, I probably should try rewatching that movie and see if it's as bad as I'm remembering this last time. But as it stands, I think they should go ahead and do it. I think they should do it. Let's see here. Thanks again, you guys, for tuning into another episode of the 206 Geek. And I really do appreciate you guys, those of you that are downloading every episode and listening to the show. If you're not already following the podcast on Facebook and or Twitter, just go to facebook.com/206geek or twitter.com/206geek and click the like or follow button. And like I said earlier, if you have any comments or questions, do a rating and a review on Apple Podcast and Podchaser by going to rate.206geek.com and follow the rate us links. And that would show me what I need to do, if there's anything I need to do. And it also shows me that people actually are enjoying what I'm doing, and that helps keep me motivated to do more. I would definitely like to hear from everybody. So if you could take out 5 minutes of your day and do a rating and a review, tell me what you like about the podcast. Share with your friends the podcast too. On top of that, that'd be great. Just let me know. Let me know how I'm doing. I want to know. Because honestly, I've not been having as much fun with this podcast as I have in the past. I might, like I said earlier in this episode, I might do fewer episodes of this and just focus more on Not About You Pod. And if you're not subscribed to Not About You Pod, search for hashtag Not About You Pod on your favorite podcasting app, and it should bring it right up. Thanks again, and I will talk to you guys next time.